I'll see round the horns on in a minute, Dad.
Muck, that is. Muck. They're all muck. Every one of them.
Well, that Kenneth Horn ain't. He's educated.
Well, he ought to know better. He's sorting all the other muck. It's all them double entendres and the insinuendos and catchpenny horseplay.
Am I going to have it on then, Dad?
No, I should just sit here and polish me boots with a cat.
Right, Dad,
yes.
I think you should listen to
it. I should listen to it? Why? Yeah. Give me one good reason.
Well, I mean, you are head of broadcasting.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the show that thumbs its nose at convention and cocks a snook at credibility. Round the horn. The story so far. Beefy cowpoke Betty Marsden, Marshal of Dodge City, rode into town on her pinto, Solly the Wonder Horse, played by Hugh the Wonder Horse Paddock in an ill-fitting skin. His own. The Marshal strode into the Last Chance Saloon and Heel Bar and was confronted by a masked stranger. Was it Wild Bill Pertwee, feared from Kansas City to the Rio Grande and not too welcome at the all-night Turkish Baths Paddington? Or was the stranger Kenneth Gabby Williams? After all, who could be stranger than Kenneth Williams? Then, after a pause, the masked stranger spoke in a voice that suggested the wide open spaces between his ears. He said,
"My name's Kenneth Horn." And that was Douglas Smith, or, as he is better known, the father of the modern bread pudding. Although he pleads the headaches. Now, for the answers to last week's questions, complete the following song titles. First, When I Leave The... Well, of course, the answer was The World Behind, and not The Bathroom As I Would Wish to Find It, as one of you could guess it. Question two, The Girl That I Marry Will Have Two. Well, most of you thought that line was complete, so... so go on to question three. He's got a fine brown. And the answer to that is frame. And I will not enter into any correspondence about that with anybody. Right. Right, Smith, make the announcement.
Yes, sir. In a moment, Kenneth Horn, Master Spy. But first, the makers of Dobbin's Medical Cummerbunds for Horses present a new, exciting addition to their range. Dobby Ride's Magic Rejuvenators. Is your horse listening?
Smith!
Does he come home from the office tired and run down?
Smith, have you taken leave of your senses?
Don't forget that Dobby Ride's will make your horse bounce with health.
Smith!
So, feed your horse on Dobby Ride's, Dobby Ride's, Dobby Ride's. I'm sorry, sir, but I had to do that. Well, you see, they offered me money. I can't live on what you pay me. I'm sorry, I was driven. I had a wife and family once. Now my friends shun me. My wife has left me. I've no job. Read my story in the Sunday Blank. And now, Kenneth Horn, Master Spy.
As you all know, on the 19th of March, 1966, the World Cup was stolen from the Central Hall, Westminster. It was subsequently recovered. But what nobody knows is that it was stolen again, yesterday. This was a job for MI5.
I was summoned to an office in Whitehall where Colonel Haverstrap was waiting. A bulging dossier open on the desk in front of him.
All right, Horn, shall I run over it once more?
You wouldn't mind, sir.
That's better. Nothing like a bit of exercise. Now, Horn, the World Cup, it's been stolen again, and you know what that means.
Yes, sir, we'll have to drink out of the world saucer. I had to move fast. I called Sir Andrew Sweet, head of the FA, at his headquarters.
Hello, Sweet FA here.
Yeah? He was being evasive. I felt that he knew something. I had to get into FA headquarters somehow, but how? I needed to conceal my identity. I hurried to the disguise department of the MI5 boutique. Their experts would take care of me. Hello, anyone there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy.
Hello, how nice of our dear old Eek again. Absolutely bone, any jewel.
Yeah. What are you doing at a top security job with MI5?
They sent us down here from the Labour.
I would have thought you might have been considered a slight security risk.
No.
No, no, we've been screened. They went into our backgrounds and found out our FIDEs were absolutely boner. We are your actual experts on disguise.
Yes.
We've had all the spies in here, haven't we?
Had them all in here.
All of them. When we finished with them, you wouldn't know them. That Siobhan Connery, we done her.
I thought it was Sean Connery.
Well, it only goes to show how good our disguises are.
And Modestry Blaze.
Modestry Blaze.
Yeah, that's David Niven in drag. Yeah. First, you'll want your basic spy equipment, bulletproof waistcoat and your actual tattersall check.
Check.
Then you want your shoulder holster. A lovely range of shoulder holsters. Show him your spring collection, Jules.
You're right, hang on.
Go on, don't be modest. Show him.
Well, here you've got your mock croc. Encrusted with semi-precious stone.
Comes nice in the mock croc.
Oh, and then you have your doe skin with your initials done in a diamante.
Comes beautiful in the doe skin.
Here's a nice off-the-shoulder holster for evening wear. Black satin with embossed rose done in bullion.
Oh, it's a rave.
Very good.
That's a rave. That's lovely, isn't it? Aren't you talking
about it? Yes, well, all right. Yes, I'll have that then. But will it support the weight of my gun?
You don't want to go stuffing your Beretta in there. How does it?
Makes such an unsightly bulge.
Spoils the line of the jacket.
Yes. But surely, as a spy going on a dangerous mission, I'll need something to protect myself.
Oh, well, you need this. It's small, fits into your pocket. If you're in trouble, press this little lever here.
Oh, what happens?
You spray yourself all over. It gives you morn till night personal freshness. And it's nice to know you're nice to know.
Thank you, yes. Now. Now, what about my disguise? Makeup, you know.
What do you think, Sandy? He needs a facial, don't he?
Yeah, facial, yeah. More like a paper hanging job, actually. Well, anyway, Jewel, we won't have any trouble with superfluous air.
If it's all the same to you, I'll just have an ordinary disguise. I want to track down an arch fiend, not win the Miss Universe competition.
All bold! Now then, what do you want this disguise for, then?
Well, I want to get into the Football Association headquarters. I'll need to look like a sporting personality.
How about Tamara Press?
Don't be so facetious, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry, I spoke.
Oh, me. Wait a minute. Let me think. I've got it. Do you think he'd lend himself to Kenneth Wusternholm?
No, if he's got any sense, he wouldn't. No, seriously, don't worry, Mr. Horn, Ducky. We'll think of something.
Two hours later, I emerged looking exactly like Billy Wright. The resemblance was fantastic, and for a while, Joy Beverly and I were deliriously happy. But I knew it couldn't last, and besides, I couldn't stand her sisters coming around sitting in the living room singing about hand cream all night. I hurried to the FA headquarters in Lancaster Gate on the trail of the World Cup. Once inside the building, I headed for the office of the England team manager, Alf Ramsey.
Come in, darling.
Alf Ramsey?
Yes, darling.
Well. Oh, that explains the way England are playing this year. Some sixth sense told me that this wasn't the real Alf Ramsey.
So, You've rumbled.
Well, it's a long time since I had breakfast. She came towards me. The air was heavy with the scent of musk. I took her in my brutal, sinewy arms and pulled her roughly to me. Her sinuous body melted in my arms.
Darling, I can live this lie no longer. I'm not Alf Ramsey.
And I'm not Billy Wright.
Oh, good, good. It's better this way.
We kissed passionately like two Italian footballers after the winning goal.
I'm Grotty Thundergast, demon girl spy. The real Alf Ramsey has disappeared. We think he took the World Cup. It's the only way he could get his hands on it.
It can't be true.
It isn't. I slipped it in for a cheap laugh and a round of applause. I also do impressions. And now, Cicely Courtney Jazz Jack Halbert in Dick Whittington. Ah, come along, Puss, come along, my darling. And 6 more miles to London.
Bring back the cat.
If what Grotty Thundergast had told me was true, this was serious. With Alf Ramsey and the World Cup both gone, this would undermine Britain's prestige as a footballing nation. There was only one man who conceived such a fiendish scheme. Oh. Dr. Chew N. Ginsburg.
Aha! Mr. Horn, so you have tracked me to my secret lair on the north face of the Jungfrau.
How are you? My name is Hilda.
Oh, you must be the Jungfrau, then.
Neville, be careful where you put those alpenstocks. Oh, young lady, oh, lady,
oh, lady, oh, lady. Lives in a world of her own, she does.
You know, I've been thinking doing this show is like spending half an hour in a spin dryer, isn't it?
Yes, in answer to your unspoken question, I have Alf Ramsey as my prisoner. Also, have World Club.
Club?
Yes, club. I thought you sleep in a clubbard.
Look, don't you think you're over-characterising a bit?
Look, ducky, I don't tell you how to play your part.
You don't. Yes, see. If
I say I've stolen the club, club it is. C-L-U-P.
All right, I didn't mean to offend you.
All right, well, keep a civil tongue.
All right.
Now you have discovered my secret. You must die. But before you die, a little entertainment. I will summon the most exquisite geisha, lovely lotus blossom.
Just go. I stand before you in the first blush of my maidenly humility, mate. Do you wish for the love songs to issue forth from my rose petal lips? Or would you like me to shake it about a bit?
She's the creeps, isn't she? See her first thing in the morning.
Ah, my little flower. My lucky nut. My Peking duck.
Like a Bombay duck. You have to use your imagination on radio.
Ah, come let us blossom. Before Mr. Horn dies, do your exotic and tantalizing version of the Dance of the Seven Veils after two. A one, a two.
Oh, that's better. Got me boots off. Now my feet can breathe.
It's all the titillation out of it, don't you?
Ah, so, back to the plot. Now, Mr. Horn, you die.
He leapt at me with a fierce cry.
Ah.
We struggled.
Ah. Oh!
I gave him a rabbit punch. He drank it thirstily. And then, staggering back, he threw his hands into the air, caught them deftly, and balanced them on the end of his nose. While my attention was thus distracted, he leapt onto a passing glacier and shot off down the valley at the rate of 2 miles a century. The World Cup so far has not been recovered, and so instead, the winning country from now on will be presented with a plastic Yogi Bear tooth mug in which to keep their plastic Yogi Bear teeth. Now the Fraser Hayes Four.
hear that band? Don't you hear that band? It's ringing out the glory of the feet. Hear that band, when you hear that band, it'll send your spirits marching down the street. USA, where the Dixie Beat was born. Dixie set with the clarinet, and it blew right out of a horn.
This happy sound went swimming all around when people started to cheer. Some played the notes that others wrote, and some kept playing by ear.
Hear that band, don't you hear that band? It's ringing out the glory of the beat. Hear that band, when you hear that band, it'll send your spirits marching down the street. You hear it playing in the big parade on the World Cup football game. It's wall to wall at the Albert Hall, and the cops keep doing the same. It makes its point at the Saturday joints, and it puts ahead of the beer. Sometimes it flares at the best of fairs at the coming out time of the year. You hear it all. It's Jubilee to the MCC, to the Arsenal, it's too much.
To the NDO, it's the status quo, automation never will touch.
It makes the day for the IRA, to the CND it jumps. And it plays with me for the BBC, and it might even cure the mumps. It's ringing out the glory of the beat.
You soon find you'll
hear that band. It's marching down the street. Hear that band, George, hear that band. It's ringing out the glory of the feet. Hear that band, when you hear that band, it'll send your spirits marching down the street. It will send your spirits marching down the street.
And now, the part of the show that keeps you up to date with what today's people are doing. But first, a message from our sponsor. Does your horse suffer from dandruff or ill-fitting dentures? Give him Dobiroids
for that. Look at that.
Smith. Oh, all right. There's no room for the little man in this show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, trends.
First, the teenage scene. Doctors are worried that many teenagers have been chewing morning glory seeds for kicks. Well, we asked gardening expert Percy Thrower if, in fact, these seeds contained stimulant properties. His answer was simple and to the point.
Now, don't bug me, man.
Come fly with me, come fly away, but you have...
And Gardening Club this week came to you from the Whiskey R Blue Jeans Discotheque in Soho. Meanwhile, letters are still pouring in from people who want information about trendy things and people. The first query reads...
My name is Grunt Buttock. J. Peasmould Grunt Buttock.
Well, I'm afraid I can't answer that question. Moving rapidly on, our second letter comes from a Mr...
Grunt Buttock. Grunt Buttock, anticipating you would not answer my first missive, I've written another. To wit, Envy, is this greasy bit of paper you're now holding? My question is this. Can you let me have the private telephone number of Judith Chalmers, whom I would like to get my hands on?
Now, at this point, the writing became indistinct, but signed...
Yours as ever, J.P.'s my Grunt Buttock, P.S., and how long shall the men of money rule us? Nay, rise up and throw off your chains and drive the usurers forth with whips and scorpions. And if you have no scorpions, a plate of shrimps will do as well. PPS must close now as I've set the bed on fire and the flames are licking round my hot water bottle.
And there the pathetic message ends. The next letter I opened came from worried ex-Gaiety girl and reads as follows.
I am 93 and my husband is 94 and just lately we have...
And that's all there is.
There's more on the other side of the page.
Oh, yes.
But haven't been hitting it off too well. We disagree. We disagree about our youngest boy. He's turned 72. But his one ambition in life is to do the turn-up on the M1 in his bath chair. An attempt, I assure you, dear sir, doomed to failure, as over 6 miles an hour, the rims of the wheels get too hot to handle. What shall we do about him, please?
Well, he's only 72. It's just a phase he's going through. Finally, we had a rather sad letter signed Awkward of Tufnell Park, which reads...
I feel terribly awkward in company. I can never think of nothing to say. I'm gauche, shy and rather clumsy, and I think people are avoiding me.
Well, Awkward of Tufnell Park, you're not alone in the world. There are others who have the same trouble. And if you don't believe me, you should watch the Seamus Android Show.
And now, the makers of Dobbyroids present... Tonight from London, the Mary Celeste of show business, the Seamus Android Show.
And tonight... Seamus's guests are Rameses Gumbrill, the whistling vicar of all souls. Ludmilla Dog Trouser, the celebrated ballerina and copper's narc. And Abdul van Goldberg, the well-known puzzle. And here's your host, Seamus Andrew.
Hello, good evening, and welcome again. And excuse me a moment while I answer this unexpected phone call, which none of us expected. Well, now, this phone call comes as much of a surprise to me as it does to you. We're all on tenterhooks wondering who it can be. The phone call! The phone call! Oh, bother, there goes the phone. I wonder who that can be. Hello? Why, it's Frank Sinatra phoning unexpectedly in person, personally, all the way from Hollywood and Perth. Hello, Frank. Well, that's incredible news. Good gracious, that's fascinating. They did. You have. You will. Well, that really is exciting news. Yes. Goodbye, tears. Well, that was Frank Sinatra from Hollywood. All right, now my next guest is... actress 84 times married, Miss Zsa Zsa Poltergeist.
Hello, lovely, lovely English people. How are you all, darlings? How are you? Am I not delightful?
All right, now, Zsa Zsa, I see you were quoted in the week as saying that you and millionaire Piggy Diphthong the Third were just good friends. Is there any truth in that?
Oh, no, 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 no. It's a misquote. We're married. That is, we were married on Tuesday, but on Wednesday I discovered he hadn't got any money, so I divorced him.
I thought he was a millionaire.
He was on Tuesday. Please, but people have been so kind. Since the news accidentally leaked out through the Zsa Zsa Poltergeist World Press Service, I have had 75 proposals. Some even for marriage. But to all of you who have written in, I'd just like to say, don't worry, darlings. I'll get around to all of you in time.
Uh,
And how true those words are even today. All right. And now, moving lugubriously on to yet another aspect of string vest poaching, brings us to our next guest, Hollywood film producer Darrell F. Claphanger.
Grand to be back on this show. Thank you very much indeed. Just being here makes me feel kind of humble, you know. That's Sir Humble H-U-M-M-B-U-L-L Humble.
Welcome back, Mr. Clark.
Welcome back, Mr. Clark. Oh, sir. Who are you, Buster? Sashay your fat can out of here. And little man, talking. What did you want to know?
Well, you've been making pictures for 40 years now.
But
you've never had an actual box office success.
I've been unlucky. But I've been pretty near. By back in the 30s, I made the great musical 43rd Street.
I thought it was called 42nd Street.
Mine was called 43rd Street. How do you like that one lousy street out? And I made that western with Gary Cooper. High 11 a.m. I was before my time. I've been dogged by misfortune, my boy. Look at my record. I made Nanook of the South. A Spy That Went Out in the Cold. Lawrence of Israel. Guys, each time my sense of direction led me down.
But you haven't given up, Darrell.
I know, boy, no. I'm still in there pitching. You got to have tenacity. T-I-N-A. Am I stupid. I'm coming back with a real biggie, B-O-wise. It's got everything. Religion, music, and horror, and I'm getting Debbie Reynolds to play the title role.
And what's that?
Rasputin, the mad... for the hell with culture. Everybody back to my place. Come on, big party after the show.
No, I'd rather not. All right. Thank you. And now, while we're on the subject of the Israeli lemon harvest, I'd like you to meet my next guest, lovely sepia songstress, Dusky Nightingale, all the way from America, Miss Lena Horne. Well, now, Lena.
I think there's been some mistake. Actually, it's Kenneth Horne. I was a bit worried when I got the invitation, but I thought...
Well, Lena, you haven't changed a bit. Just as lovely as ever.
Yeah, very good of you, but the name is Kenneth Horne.
Well, Lena, seeing us in the flesh for the first time, I'd find it difficult to believe that you're the mother of a girl in her 20s.
You find it difficult to believe? Well, how do you think I feel? Look, the name is Kenneth Horne.
All right. But it seems incredible, Lena, looking at you, that you still have the figure of a young girl.
Well, I keep... Well, I keep myself up, but I am Kenneth Horne.
And good luck with it. And I hope it has a long run. All right, now, people wouldn't forgive me if I didn't ask you to sing, Lena.
Kenneth.
So what's it going to be, Lena?
Look, for the last time... No.
Do I love you? Why, honey, dear,
apparently I was so convincing as Lena Horne that I was offered the lead in a revival of Green Pastures, playing opposite Louis Armstrong, but I turned it down. I didn't feel I could combine a singing career with that of a wife and mother. Well, now, that brings us to the end of the show, except for a message to all shipping in the region of Wolverhampton. What on earth are you doing there?
Here we are. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, presented by the makers of Dobby Roy. The show starred Kenneth Vaughan with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the show is produced by John Simmons.